And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you to the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And you may have not have known it, January 1st dawned like, you know, any other New Year's Day, with, you know, the difference being that we are in the midst of a pandemic. But for folks living in Colorado Springs and surrounding areas, we have an extra reason to celebrate, a special reason to celebrate. That's because of a special event that happened on July 31st, 1871. That's when a group of citizens, along with General William Jackson Palmer, gathered at the southeast corner of Pikes Peak and Cascade Avenues, or what would be them, and declared Colorado Springs as an established city within the state of Colorado. They sealed their declaration by driving an iron stake into the ground. And on July 31st, 2021, in Colorado Springs, we're now the 39th largest city in the United States. We will officially turn 150, and our citizens will once again gather to celebrate, because we're very hopeful that the pandemic will have subsided by then, with the coronavirus vaccine making the rounds. So as the city enters its 150th year, there are all sorts of ways that it's going to be observed. It's going to be celebrated. It's going to be marked as a milestone, with activities that are available to people of all ages. So joining me this morning with more information on the city's sesquicentennial anniversary is Matt Mayberry, Manager of Cultural Services for the City of Colorado Springs and Director of the Pioneers Museum. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Shannon. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too. Now, we had mentioned, for those that were paying attention last week, that when the Adaman Group was going up Pikes Peak, that they were doing a special 9 p.m. fireworks show at a lower elevation as a way of really ushering in our sesquicentennial year. So, I mean, this is something that, you know, when you reach that 150-year mark, it really puts you in a new category as a city. And in fact, there's an exhibit that is going to be at the Pioneers Museum called COS at 150. So tell us what people can expect to see in the new exhibit.
That's correct, Shannon. And by the way, you say sesquicentennial very well, so good job. The museum will be looking back on our history with this exhibit, COS at 150, in which we've had the difficult task of selecting 150 objects, photographs, documents, and other storytelling devices that will help us to capture the history of Colorado Springs, and hopefully shed some new light for those folks who come and visit the exhibit, about who we are, how we became the city that we are today, and maybe, you know, how we might move into the future. So it's really really challenging for our staff to do all of this, to tell all of these stories in a relatively few number of objects, but great way to think about who we are as a community and how we've grown over time and the changes that we've experienced in our community. The exhibit will open on January 30th. Of course, we're required to follow health restrictions, so we don't know exactly how many people will be allowed to come in at the building at that time, but we're looking forward to opening it, getting it going, and welcoming the community into the museum.
So January 30th is when the exhibit opens, and you know,
correct,
stay tuned for any details of how that will be, you know, how you'll be able to get tickets or go inside, because, of course, things are changing. I mean, today we're experiencing a change even with our level red to level orange levels. So what did COVID affect how the planning for this exhibit was managed?
It has, as with most organizations in town. Our catchword throughout all of this has been flexibility.
Uh-huh.
This exhibit was originally scheduled actually to open later this year. This is one of three major exhibits that the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum will be opening to explore our community's history in new ways. And so we had to reorganize some of our exhibits because of the closures that we experienced in 2020. And so we've reorganized some things. We will have what was going to be our second exhibit opening last November, actually will open next November, or this coming November, I guess I should say. And this COS at 150, which was going to be the third and final exhibit, is actually going to be our second. So we've had to do some rearranging, and we expect and have learned to be prepared as COVID has required us to, you know, be flexible in our planning. So, but we will open this exhibit on January 30th, and that is set in stone. And then we'll have a number of other programs and activities going on beginning this month. Actually, you mentioned the Adamant Club. Our first in what we call our Scholar Series, which will be focused on the sesquicentennial, is about the Adamant Club and its history. And that is this Saturday, the 9th. At 2 p.m. That will be a virtual lecture. Hopefully we're going to be moving away from virtual lectures, but anyone who wants to find out more about what the museum is doing to celebrate, commemorate the 150, can just go to cspm.org/COS150. And all of our programs, our family activities, our exhibits, other programs will be there and available for people to learn more about and to find out how to register.
Right. And in reaching this level of being, of having a sesquicentennial, you know, I mean, you think back 150 years, so much has happened. We've kind of focused during this year on, you know, how Spanish flu affected things 100 mm-hmm. years ago. But you're also talking about, the gold rush and, military wars. What does reviewing our past tell us about our present and potentially our future?
That's a great question. You know, obviously, I'm a historian, and so obviously I think historically and about the value of history, but I really, I really think it's helpful for people to, just like you do on a birthday, to figure out, what's happened in the last year and where do I want to go in the next year?
Take stock.
Right. Take stock and evaluate and make plans. And that's what an anniversary like this does. I think back on, you mentioned the Spanish flu of 1918. And I think it's helpful to us as a community today to know that this community has been challenged many times in the past. And we have, we've come through those challenges. We've often become a much a stronger, more resilient community through these tests. I think not only of that previous pandemic, but things like the Waldo Canyon fire, or the Great Depression, or the Monument Creek flood of 1935, mm-hmm. all of these things that have happened in our history that have helped to, kind of solidify and strengthen this community, and to, make it perhaps better prepared for moving into the future. We've gone through events like COVID in the past, and we will come out of this one as well. And, in many ways, we have come through this stronger than many other communities in the country. And I think part of that has to do with General Palmer's vision for Colorado Springs, which was, he wrote in 1871, he wanted Colorado Springs to be the finest place in the West to build a home. And today we're seeing that. Colorado Springs is routinely ranked one of the best places in the country to live. And we see our population and the amount of construction and development going on in the community. It's just a matter of bringing forward Palmer's vision for the city.
Right. We're seeing it play out even at the federal level, where right now there are plenty of people, military leaders and city boosters, who are lobbying to make sure U.S. Space Command is located here permanently, and also saying that same thing, that Colorado Springs will be the finest place in the land to build a home, to be at home, to make a home. So we certainly, do see that play out in a modern way as well. We're going to be talking much more with Matt Mayberry, who's manager of cultural services for the city of Colorado Springs and director of the Pioneers Museum. One question we want to ask is, so if we are starting out our year with this exhibit about the sesquicentennial, how's it going to carry over into other activities that are planned and other exhibits that the museum has planned for the rest of the year? As well, we're going to be talking about Beards, Bonnets, and Brews, a special event. I love it. Stay tuned for more of The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. We're back with The Extra. Today, our focus is on the sesquicentennial year for Colorado Springs. You're going to be hearing a lot more about that in the days, weeks, and months to come, especially as we wind it all up to the big day, the day that will mark the actual birthday of the city of Colorado Springs, which is June 12th, when that first iron stake was pounded into the streets, marking, the dedication, as a city. And we've got Matt Mayberry, who's manager of cultural services for the city and director of the Pioneers Museum, which is set to start opening an exhibit to the public at the Pioneers Museum on COS at 150. We're going to be finding out what it means to be turning 150. We've been hearing that the opening date for that museum exhibit will be the end of January. But Matt, there's a lot that the museum has planned for this special year. What else does the museum have planned?
Well, one of the other things we'll be doing this month, Shannon, is unveiling a new mobile-friendly web application called The Story of Us Mobile. Visitors to the museum may be familiar with our Story of Us exhibit, which takes a map-based view of Colorado Springs history, looking at not only just what happened here, but where things happened. And so we are going to be unveiling an application that is ready for people to use their cell phones in exploring the community. So people can do customized tours, and can explore historical components that are in the community nearby where they are. And so that'll be another tool that we can, that will allow the public to explore our fascinating local history. And so we're looking forward to that being unveiled. That will also happen later this month. So people can kind of explore on their own, which also is fun, just to find out more about your community and maybe see it from a different perspective than what you do, driving to work or taking the kids to school or what have you.
Right.
Additionally, you mentioned June 12th. June 12th is an event we have called Beards, Bonnets, and Brews Fest. And that is an event that we will be hosting. You know, this is a community-wide festival, and we're working with a number of different organizations around the community. And this one will be at Rockledge Ranch Historic Site, which is adjacent to Garden of the Gods Park at 30th and Gateway. The event will be a community-wide celebration, so everybody's invited. It's a family-friendly affair. There will be food trucks there. We'll also be working with some of our local breweries to produce special sesquicentennial-themed ales and other concoctions.
But harken back to those days, right? Yeah.
Well, it's a little bit of an unusual from Palmer's perspective. In 1871, he created Colorado Springs as a dry community. So we're not quite sure what Palmer would think of this. But
he'd be shushing us. Shame.
And, Colorado Springs has great local breweries now and distilleries. It's a big part of who we are as a community, and we think it's important to recognize that as well. But doing it at Rockledge Ranch, which that site dates back to the 1870s, it'll feel a little bit like stepping back in time.
And I mentioned something erroneously. I said June 12th. Of course, the official birth date is July 31st. I said that correctly at the beginning. So so that is the actual birthday. So meanwhile, the Beards, Bonnets, Brews event would be going on June 12th. Where did they get up with the brews and the beards and the bonnets? I get the brew part, but tell us about the other.
Well, part of this has to do with Colorado Springs has a long tradition of doing these beard contests. There was one when we turned 100, and Mayor Southers was here at that time and remembers that and wanted to recreate that event where men in town or anyone who wants to grow a beard can be challenged to do so and participate in some
kind of a
gentle contest. I understand that Mayor Southers is going to start growing his sometime in February, and he's looking forward to that. We wanted some an activity for people who can't or don't wish to grow a beard, and so the bonnets comes out after that, and we will be we'll be helping people with, training them on providing some educational materials on how to create different types of bonnets, maybe that are authentic to the 1870s or maybe a little more fantastical than that. So we really want people to have a way to feel engaged in the activity, to find, something that's meaningful to them. And so that's where it came from, the 3B event, beards, bonnets, and brews.
I love it. Okay, so then that leads up to July 31st, the actual birthday. What's going to happen on that day when we turn 150 years old?
That is our downtown festival, a community-wide festival that will happen on the streets of downtown Colorado Springs, specifically on Vermahoe. If people haven't been downtown in the last few weeks, you may not have seen this, but Vermahoe is being transformed into a festival street. So Vermahoe is the street on the south side of the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum, and it connects our museum with the new U.S. Olympic Museum. And that has been designed as a pedestrian-friendly street in which we can have the many festivals that happen in Colorado Springs. And it will be the first time, is my understanding, that festival street will be implemented for this purpose. So there will be a parade through time that connects the two museums that I just mentioned. We will have an event on our grounds. Every year we have an event called Colorado Grown, which is a historical-themed community festival that happens in Alamo Square surrounding the museum. And then people can make that trek from here, the three or so blocks, to the Olympic Museum, and there will be activities along the way.
I am looking forward to it because, of course, we're all hopeful, and it sounds like it's getting likely that we're going to be past the pandemic, maybe able to put it in a rearview mirror by that time. So that might be really being able to celebrate a return to normal and as well a return or a celebration of us turning the big 150. For more information, you can go to cspm.org/COS150. We have more with Matt Mayberry coming up. We have to take a short break. You're listening to The Extra. We're back with The Extra. Here we are focusing on Colorado Springs' sesquicentennial year. We entered it with the marking of the new year, and we are going to continue building up to the big day, the actual birthday, July 31st. We've been talking to Matt Mayberry, who's manager of cultural services for the city of Colorado Springs and director of the Pioneers Museum. Matt, would you say you know more than anyone perhaps in the city about the past 150 years of Colorado Springs history?
Well, I don't know that. I mean, I don't know if it's a competition, but I've been doing this for a long time, so I know quite a bit.
Yeah. And one thing that I think really makes Colorado Springs remarkable is of course our beautiful scenery. I mean, we gaze out at Pikes Peak. We see Blodgett Peak off in the northern distance. I mean, we have just these amazing viewpoints. But one aspect of it that I guess has suffered with the fires that we've seen, particularly with the Waldo Canyon fire, has been the denuding of trees due to wildfires. But there's something that's meant to counter that. It's the Tree Challenge. Tell us about that.
Right. Mayor Southers has issued a challenge to the community to plant 18,071 trees by the end of this sesquicentennial year. We kicked that off 2 years ago Actually, the first ceremonial tree that was planted as part of this challenge was done so here on the grounds of the museum. But, you know, that we're growing so quickly. There are so many new houses being built and trees associated with that construction. But we want the community to remember that this is one of the first things that General Palmer did when he founded Colorado Springs in 1871, was to bring in trees, most of them from the Arkansas River Valley. And he created the irrigation system needed to support those trees so that in a few years after that date, we had, you know, these green tree-lined streets that we're all so familiar with today. This is a harsh climate for trees. If you travel out onto the plains, you'll see that, you know, trees don't grow there naturally. They require us to make a commitment not only to planting trees, but putting the right tree in the right place, and then caring for it. But, you know, we're all rewarded for that by not only having trees that we can enjoy, but that our grandchildren can enjoy in the future. So we want to encourage people. Let me give you, you've been mentioning a website this morning. Let me give you another one. If you go to coloradosprings.gov/150, you can find out more about this tree challenge and a way to register a tree. So if your listeners are planning, or hopefully they will be planning, to plant a tree or encourage their friends or neighbors or neighborhood associations to plant trees, we would want them to register those so we can track them. So far we've had, I believe it's over 2,000 trees planted, but tracking them will help us to reach this overall goal of over 18,000 trees.
Right. And you want to make sure that you're, you know, finding the right kind of tree, using the right tree for the right place. Are those some of the resources people will find when they go there?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you go to coloradosprings.gov/150 and go to the tree challenge site, there will be advice on where you should plant a tree. What's the right tree for that application? You know, Colorado Springs is very proud of its history as a tree city, and it was one of the ideas that Palmer had for this place. And you are really carrying on by planting a tree. You're carrying on the intent, the vision, the expectation that was created by our founders in 1871.
Right. And we want to make sure that the city knows about any tree planting efforts. So tracking them, you know, it's not Big Brother. We're just having some fun tracking a tree. It's important to also kind of register your tree for that reason, right?
That's right. And it's easy to do. You can do it right online. You answer a few questions and then press submit, and you can look at the map. You can see where other people in your community or your neighborhood have planted trees, and maybe turn it into a little bit of competition with people on your street. But we'll all benefit from this in the future, and we are so fortunate to live in a community that, you know, in the past they've taken care to plant trees and make sure that those trees can flourish. So it's our time now to make sure we're a good ancestor for the people who follow after us.
I was thinking as you were saying that, you know, challenge your neighbor. My neighbors, Ed and Linda, they've been planting tons of trees. They probably would turn around and challenge me because, we haven't planted a tree in a while. But for people like Ed and Linda who have planted trees recently, do they count? Out? I mean, can you include them?
Yep. Absolutely. Any tree planted in the last 2 years, so 2018 through 2021, will be part of this challenge. And, you know, all of them count, and we want to make sure all of them get listed in our tracker. And again, that's coloradosprings.gov, and specifically you can go to coloradosprings.gov/tree150, and that will take you right to the information on the tree challenge and the tree tracker.
And you mentioned some of the, you know, I guess the long-term benefits of having trees. Is that why trees are so significant to Colorado Springs, do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, speaking from a historian's perspective, you know, Colorado Springs was founded really, as you mentioned earlier, just based on It's a beautiful location, you know, with Garden of the Gods and Pikes Peak and so many of the parks that we have inherited from General Palmer and others. Really, the idea of a beautiful setting with its wonderful climate is why Colorado Springs was here. And in order to make it even more appealing, trees were a major part of this. And so, you know, many other communities in the West, trees might have been pretty low on the priority list, you know, for mining towns and other places. But right here, it was one of the first choices that our founders made, is to put a high priority on making the city more beautiful, even more beautiful than it is just in its natural setting. And so we are really the beneficiaries of that decision, that vision. And it's our role to make sure that that survives for the next 150 years.
Right. We're not just, you know, going through this place and not doing anything to improve it. It's part of our role, as you mentioned, our obligation, our duty to keep the improvements going, even as we are marking this 150th year. We are talking with Matt Mayberry, who is the Director of Cultural Services for the Colorado Springs City, as well as the Director of the Pioneers Museum. We're going to be continuing our conversation as we focus today on turning 150, Colorado Springs' big birthday this year, the sesquicentennial, what it means for us, how you can take part, how you can find ways to mark it, to enjoy it, to learn a little bit more about this place we call home. We're coming up with another segment of The Extra. Keep it right here. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the people, issues, and topics that are important to you. And today's topic is one that's important to all of us because we are turning 150, the city of Colorado Springs is, and we're talking to Matt Mayberry, who's the manager of cultural services for the city and director of the Pioneers Museum, about all things sesquicentennial. And Matt, one thing people may not realize about me who are listening at home, I am a history nerd. I love history, love learning about it. And one of the things I know at least one, maybe more of the Civil War battleground national parks that they have in various parts of the South, because of COVID, what they did was a cell phone auto tour. So you would call up a number on the cell phone, you're in your car because of social distancing, and you're able to drive around and kind of get information about the site that's told to you by one of those very informative rangers about that. Is that something that you're planning, something like that, that you're planning through this mobile app?
It is. It's a little bit different than what you describe. It's more of an exploration tool. But I've been playing around with the test version of it. And the real one will be launched later this month, but it will show you where you are on the map and what historic sites or structures or locations are nearby you. Mm. So you can explore history that way. Or you can also do a custom tour that will focus on different themes related to our history. So kind of depends on how you want to explore history, but you know, everybody carries these wonderful devices in their pocket now, and it can really bring history, you know, right into your hand, right where you are. So we want to take advantage of that, and these tools are wonderful new devices for us to try to engage, inform, and entertain the public.
Fantastic.
And hopefully along the way, share our history.
And what else should we know about the sesquicentennial, how we can, I guess, participate?
Well, a few more things that people may want to explore. We do have a reading list on the city's website at coloradosprings.gov/150. So if you want to do a little prep work as we're getting close to the sesquicentennial and read about our history, we have a number of different resources that are available. Many of them you can get at the library, or if you want to buy them for your personal library, you can do that as well. They're wonderful books about our history. We have a unique history, which has attracted a lot of interest by scholars and historians. And so that list is available. Also, we've tried to make that list available for all interest levels. So there's some family books, some children's books as well. So that's one option. A wonderful photographer here in town named Mike Pock, who owns a studio called Three Peaks Photography, has decided to take this challenge and turn it into an exhibit. The sesquicentennial exhibit that he will be working on is called Colorado Springs Then and Now, and he has gone through our photo collection here at the museum, as well as the photo collection at the Pikes Peak Library District, and selected 50 historic images that he is now recreating, and showing not only, you know, in some ways how the community is remains unchanged over time, but also documenting how we've changed. That exhibit will open on July 8th at Library 21C. And it will be there for 2 months, and then we'll travel around to other libraries throughout the PPLD system. And it's I've had a chance to preview some of those photos, and the city's social media accounts have also shown them, so your viewers may be able to find those on social media. But they're just wonderful images that really create this idea of who we are as a community, and again the idea that we've changed over time, but in many ways we haven't. So that's another opportunity. Again, that's July 8th at Library 21C. On July 17th, the Chamber of Commerce EDC will be having a sesquicentennial gala. They're still working on the planning for that, but the hopes are that that will be at the Broadmoor. And we will also be doing a history of business in Colorado Springs as part of that gala. So talking about how business has grown, and we've got wonderful local businesses that have been around for a century or longer. And we want to talk about, you know, what does it look like to have a business in Colorado Springs? How have we taken this unique place and turned it into really an important destination for entrepreneurs? And we mentioned earlier Space Force, how the military and the defense industry has found a home here in Colorado Springs. So we'll be looking a little bit more at that history.
And with that, when you hear something like that, I'm sure it's still in the planning stages. So what sort of help do you need? Sponsors, volunteers?
Well, certainly we need, we would love people to sponsor. So if companies or individuals are in a position to help, I would encourage them to go to the city's website, coloradosprings.gov/150, and you can find out more there. One of the things that Mayor Suthers has really encouraged, and I will echo this, is we want individuals, organizations, corporations to find a meaningful way for them in this sesquicentennial. And so you don't have to necessarily get involved with the city's efforts, but if you own an older business and you want to just explore your own history, do that and share that with the public. There are lots of service organizations in town who've expressed interest. The local extension service is going to do a garden tour later this summer in the Old North End. And so they're going to combine these old historic properties, residential properties, and the gardens that they have in their backyard, and kind of marry those two things. You know, they're mainly interested in gardening, but they're going to bring this historic component to it as well. So if people are interested in just using this as a time to think about their own history, their own role in this community, we encourage them to do so and just find something that's meaningful for them. But there's lots and lots of activities coming up, as we've discussed. And again, let me mention those two resources. ColoradoSprings.gov/150 is all of the various resources and activities that are sponsored by the City of Colorado Springs. And then for the museum, CSPM.org/COS150 will give you lots of access to our programs, exhibits, and other activities that will be happening throughout the year.
Sounds like so much fun. And what a way to start off the new year on a positive note, looking forward to something. Looking back, though, at our history, and I'm sure now the pandemic will be incorporated in that as another thing that Colorado Springs has weathered and emerged victorious from. Speaking of how businesses can maybe market, you know, we have, and I'm looking at TJ, my producer, we have in the back lot here, we have the old KRDO neon sign from way back in the day. It's way back in the day, you know, but it used to illuminate 8th Street here, I'm sure, back in the 40s and 50s. So maybe we'll have to figure out a way to put that on display so that people can, you know, enjoy it. Throwback
that's
time.
That's a great idea. And KRDO has an important and long history in our community. So congratulations on that.
Yeah. Well, we'll make sure we mark the sesquia in the appropriate way. Want to thank our guest today, Matt Mayberry. Again, looking forward to the opening of that exhibit on COS at 150 at the end of the month. Maybe we'll be able to tag along with you on a tour. That would be fun, Matt. Sound good?
We'd love to have you.
Yep. Okay, great. Thanks so much for being my guest today on The Extra. And thank you to our listeners for tagging along and listening and really taking part in what makes this city so great. You've been listening to KRDO News Radio.